tell when Simon of Cyrene had passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus to bear his cross. Stop right there. Let's go back. Go back. Just, I ain't gonna preach on this. I just want to let you know that Cyrene is in Algeria. Algeria is in northern Africa. So don't you ever let nobody tell you this is somebody else's religion. Cyrenian, all right? He is a North African, all right? North African helped Jesus bear his cross. North African did it on the first day. There's some African Americans who are still doing it today. Amen. Who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place called Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. They actually gave him vinegar. And the reason why they gave him vinegar, as Erica would tell you, vinegar actually freezes your vocal cords, all right? They gave him vinegar to drink, not because the wine was bad, all right? That's the wine which is old and rancid. And one of the worst things you can ever do is get tea from Bojangles who've been sitting there 2 days. And they'll do it to you, amen? Tastes like vinegar. All right, that's what happens when you leave stuff old, amen. And they gave him that vinegar, but vinegar freezes your vocal cords. They were trying to stop Jesus from talking. Some of y'all drink vinegar on y'all way to church. You ain't said amen yet this morning. Everybody say amen. Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Y'all done had some lemon juice. Amen. And when they had crucified him, here's where I want to be at. And when they had crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. I want to talk about in his own clothes, part two. In his own clothes, part two. I really want to talk about a naked Savior, but y'all can't handle that. I really want to talk about a naked Savior, but y'all can't handle that. In his own clothes, part two. And again, we give honor to the Dean of all Black Baptist preachers, the Reverend Dr. Gardner C. Taylor, who originally preached the sermon titled In His Own Clothes. I tried to press upon your heart last week as we enter into this period called Kaya, this month of just dressing down, that we have to be non-judgmental. Worship and worship forms. As you know, the church is evolving, and as Erica was taking us back, there is a shift, there is a change. And some of you have witnessed it with your own two eyes, some of you have just seen it on YouTube. You've seen the church culture kind of change, and for some of us, we don't understand it, we can't get it, and for some, it doesn't even look like church to us. And many of us are used to getting dressed in our Sunday's best, amen. If you don't come to church looking any type of way, especially don't come to church in no shorts, no t-shirts, and no sandals, amen. And you don't come to church drinking your tea and your coffee inside of the church. And we are used to wearing what we call our Sunday's best. That's why the television show, for those of you who get BET and still watch BET, that's why Kirk Franklin's show is called Sunday's Best, because African Americans believe in wearing our Sunday's best. Even though I have asked that the church is doing call you, some of y'all can't. You can't dress down because it ain't church for you. And I'm good. I'm cool with that. I'm back in the robe on first Sunday. If I'm going to wear this linen while it's 96 degrees, amen? And then for some of us, we have to wear our Sunday's best because it is our tradition, but it's also part of our culture. Because you got to understand, our forefathers who worked on the plantations had to wear somebody else's clothes Monday through Saturday. They had to work Monday through Saturday in dirty, dingy clothes. All right, and truly, that's why we joke about your Saturday bath for them. It's the truth. That was the only day they did take a bath. God knows. Fast forward, Pastor. And so on Sunday, they made their own clothes. They didn't have no Ross. They didn't have no belt. They didn't have no billet. They didn't have no belt to go to. They didn't have Amazon. But they made their own clothes, and when they made their own clothes for Sunday morning, what they wore during Monday through Saturday. And they gave God their very best on Sunday morning. Now, for some, depending on where you were in the country, for some, they had to go to the church of their masters, and so they would have to dress up, either sit in the balcony, or for some, even had to watch service from the windows. All right, wasn't no air conditioning, so the doors and the windows weren't closed, but they had to watch because of segregation. You couldn't mix with other people. They had to either sit either in the balcony, or they would stand in the doors, but they wore their Sunday best, and then after church service, after dinner, after even a Sunday night, they would really steal away and really go down by the river or find what we call a brush harp or some secret place in the woods, still dressed up in their Sunday's best, and worship their Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, when they were at the other man's church, they weren't worshiping in spirit and in truth. They were there because they had to be out of obligation. And for some people, you all come to church just out of obligation because mama told you to go to church. It has become routine for you. It's become tradition for you. It's something you just do because it's something you were trained to do. That's what religious is, just doing something repetitiously because of what you have been taught to do and trained to do. But there's some people who come to church out of pure reason to come to church. And the pure reason to come to church is to give God your praise, to give God your worship, all right? All right? You come here because you know you really owe God something. You can't pay him back. You can't give him nothing back. The only thing you can give him is your praise. Amen? The tithes are not giving anything back to God. I know we say that, but you're not giving them back to God because God don't need nothing back. He already owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And then there's some of us who come here Sunday because you need something. And ain't nothing wrong with that either. You need something. Somebody came here for a healing. Somebody came here for a breakthrough. Somebody got a bad report. Somebody's daughter's in the ICU. Somebody's about to lose their job, lose their home. And you come here because you need God. And you know God might, in his will, provide what you need when you need it. Ain't nothing wrong with coming to church for that either. But for any of y'all who come to church for obligation, we know it. We see it all on your face. You're looking at your watch already. You got 15 more minutes. Football season done started back up. I done bought my NFL pass. I'm going to watch all 100 games in one day. So examine yourself. Why you come? What's your purpose for coming into this house? Not this Sunday morning, but every Sunday morning. Never come for obligation, but come for opportunity. Come for opportunity that God is going to do something miraculous today. God is going to do something special in your life. You're going to have a revelation today that's going to help you for the rest, not only of your day, not only of your week, of your month, but of your life. And so that is the tradition that we wear our Sunday best. For some of us, you know, dressing down ain't part of who we are, and that's fine. You do you, boo. But I don't want us to ever stand in judgment of someone who ever comes in here or you go somewhere else who ain't dressed like you, don't look like you, ain't combed their hair like you, don't smell like you. See, you can't clean fish until you catch them. And see, a lot of us want us clean fish. You know, that's why y'all just go through Captain D's. It's already done been cleaned for you. You go to Clifton's. Give me a discount if y'all watching. The free advertisement for Clifton. You want your fish already dressed with fries and Hush Puppies nectar and your tea already sweet and nice for you. You put your hot sauce and your mustard on it with bread with the flounder right down the middle. You fold it. Fold that thing up like a sandwich. All right, you want it already worked out for you. And that's how a lot of us want Christians to be. We want it already worked out and make it easy for us. A German theologian called Bonhoeffer called it cheap grace, where we don't want to do no work to get people saved. We want them already saved, clean, and sanctified before they come in the house so we don't have to do no dirty work. But anybody who's in the work of the Lord, anybody who's head of any ministry, understands you got to get yourself ready for dirt, for mess. And don't be shocked when you got mess in your ministry. Some people fall all apart because they got mess in their ministry. Do you know that Jesus took blood, took mud, he took spit, and he took dirt, and that's how blind Bartimaeus got his sight, because of dirt and mess. The only way sometimes you can clean up mess is a little bit more mess. And that's when I got to step in and referee. All right, back to the subject. So they took off his own clothes and they put purple on him. They put on a purple cape, Sister Dunbar, because he was charged with being a king. And they said, well, you don't look like no king. Well, tell me what a Christian looked like. I know what they should sound like. I know what they should walk like. And I also know how they should praise right. And so I had to be delivered from that, because I understand that some of us wear our Sunday best, but we don't give God our best. Say that over here. We wear our Sunday best, but do you really give God your best? Ask yourself in the last hour how much you've given God. It's on the wrong side. Well, you dressed up with nowhere to go. Are you really giving God your best when the thing that he's always asking for and has really only asked for is your praise? It's your praise? Now, I am a jealous God, and there is no other God before me. Open your mouth with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto me and bless. Somebody say bless. His name. And again, as I instructed you last week, the way that we do it ain't the right way, ain't the correct way, ain't the perfect way. It's our way. And this is the way that you find God. This is the way you worship God. This is the type of culture that you have invested your soul in to get your heart right so that you might see Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some awkward ways. I don't want to call them wrong because I don't want to stand in judgment. But there are some peculiar situations where you go in some situations and you don't feel like the spirit is right. All right? But you've got to still be able to find your Jesus wherever you find yourself. Amen? Even when this preacher last week is all on CNN and we asked every member to give $1,000 and there was a fight in the church. It's on CNN. Go to USA Today. Ask each member for he drive a Bentley. And then ask every member for $1,000. That's why I'm going to ask y'all for 10. I ain't going to give me no fight up in here. I don't ask you for nothing. You give God. It's between you and God anyhow. Amen. We ain't never had no $100 line, no $50 line, whatever you got line. They ain't never going. That's between you and God. Tithing is about not the dollar amount. Tithing is about obedience. Obedience to God. Obedience to God. Where you're saying, God, I trust you to give you 10, that you're going to make my 90 I'm left with more than the 100 that I started with. Let me do that for you if you fail third grade math. I'm going to give you 10 out of my 100. You're going to leave me with 90, but you're going to make the 90 more than the 100 I started with, because I know God and I trust you. I got faith enough, God, that you're going to supply my every need. So me giving you away this $10 ain't going to hurt me. So they mocked him. Sometimes we mock people because they don't look like us, don't worship like us, don't praise like us. But see, you know, you got to be the fire starter on your own road sometimes. And see, what happens is sometimes if nobody's clapping their hands on your road, nobody open their mouth on their road, nobody's smiling on your road, you feel like, hey, I'm on the dead road, so I might as well be dead too. It happens. That's the truth of the matter. That's the truth of the matter. You get in the wrong section, and where nobody is praising him, and you get lulled to sleep. So you're like, oh, okay, this is the Sadidi area of the church. This is where I'm going to sit. This way you don't have to do nothing. This is the cheap grace corner. But somebody on your row got to smile. Somebody got, don't slap them. Don't touch them. Slap them sometimes. Tell them to wake up. If God woke you up this morning, ain't no need for you to come back in here and sleep again. And you don't know what somebody's praising through. You don't know what somebody's praising. You don't know what them tears mean. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they really are trying to shout out. You don't know how dirty they are. You don't know what bed they woke up this morning, but still found their way in the church. And so sometimes we can't find our way because we're judging and looking at others.
I used to joke, I'm still going to joke, about people I say got deer stands up in the parking lot. Deer stands. Them the nosy Christians who know everybody else's business in the church. They set up deer stands and watch who people leave with, who people talk to, and then they want to create the cliques. They ain't even cliques in the church. I know I done got off on a tangent. I'm going to come back be where you want me to be. So we have to be very careful about judging people. And sometimes, again, and I had to admit and be honest, sometimes you can build up a judgmental wall where you lose your spirit. And so they put this purple cloak on him. They put a reed in his hand. They put a crown of thorns on his head to mock him as a king. But when he died and when they took him out to be judged, he was judged in his own clothes. Now watch this now. Thursday night they arrest him. Thursday night they put the purple on him. They mock him as a king. Friday morning they took the purple off, took him before Pilate in his own clothes. He was judged by the judge in his own clothes. Teach us, preacher. Teach me, preacher. You're going to be judged in your own clothes. On that day, all of us. And I like to describe it as this. When you're saved, you get your ticket to heaven. But you ain't got no seat assignment. Anybody ever got a ticket from the airline and you ain't had no seat assignment? And you got to go to the desk to get a seat. You got a ticket, but you can't get on that plane until you get a seat assignment. So you what you call, you flying standby. See, everybody who's saved, we just flying standby right now. Because Revelation says there's then got to be the judgment. So there's another step you've got to go through called the judgment before you get on the plane to go to heaven. So all of us are going to be judged in your own clothes. You're going to be judged by yourself, for yourself. And Jesus and Peter, whoever they're at the judgment desk, know all about your clothes. They know every stain on your clothes. They know every rip on your clothes. They know every time you tried to take it in but had to let it back out. He knows all. But put that up, Tim and Damien. But when he died halfway naked. When he died with nothing but something that was covering his loins. He died for you. He died for me halfway naked with just something covering his manhood. No more purple cloak to be a king. No more clothes of his humanity. He almost died the way we came in the world. Halfway naked. You've got to be able to come into this church every Sunday morning naked before God. You've got to be able to come into this church transparent and open before the Lord, not before men, not before your neighbor, not before your choir members or your deacons, not between Ron, not before me, but you've got to be willing to come in here naked before the Lord and not embarrassed of how you look. So you got to come in here and take your spank off. You got to take your wig off. Don't do it. Keep it on. Wait till you get home. You got to take them extensions out. You got to take all that mirror care. You got to take everything off before the Lord that covers you up and makes you look good before men. Because God ain't worried about what you look like before men and how you present yourself before men. He needs you naked to him because he knows how you look when you are by yourself. And you let some other people dictate sometimes your praise by how they're looking at you on the outside. But it don't matter how you look on the outside. It's all about how you feel about yourself and God on the inside. And that's why we should never have to prop you up or pump you up to praise God. Because you know what God has done for you. You know how good God has been to you. You know how far God has brought you from. And we shouldn't have to remind you that. that you need to give him praise. If you're naked, see, some of y'all can't worship right now because your clothes holding you down. Your neighbor holding you down. Ain't nobody else gave him praise on your work. But you got to stand before God in all of your glory, as they say, and give him praise for you. And be comfortable in your own skin. Be comfortable in your own skin. I am never going to be 6'4". 185. And chocolate. I ain't never going to be tall, dark, and handsome. I am short, light, and cute, and that's enough for me. And that's enough for you too, baby. Smile so they think so. You got to be comfortable with who you are and how God has made you. And not be worried about, you know, the young lady told me that the reason why she wants to go to one of them dark churches, and I'm not throwing shade, I'm throwing sunshine, but you know I'm telling the truth. Y'all, anybody visit one of them dark churches? She says, I don't feel like nobody's staring at me so I can worship him. That I feel like other people are staring at me so I can't worship him. So I love the dark church because nobody's just me and God. Bless her heart. I'm not judging her. That's how she feels. Well, that's your way. Close your eyes. Yeah, close your eyes. Every now and then I get in the spirit. And y'all watch me. When I at the end, I close my eyes because I ain't trying to look at y'all. Because somebody who frowning gonna throw me off. Somebody who ain't happy like I'm happy gonna throw me off. Somebody who ain't praising like I'm praising gonna throw me off. Somebody who hadn't felt what I've been preaching gonna throw me off. So you'll notice, watch your preacher. I'll close my eyes so it's just nobody but me and God. Why don't you do that right now? Why don't you just close your eyes and look at your mind? Don't look at who next to you. Don't look who next to you. Look in your mind. Matter of fact, look in your memory. Look in the museum of your memory. Look how far God has brought you. Look at that, how God has brought you. Look at your family and the problems in your family and how you made it in spite of. Look at how you got through college. Look at that loan that you ain't got to pay back no more. Look at that job that you don't even deserve. Look at that car you driving but you didn't have the credit for. Look at that cancer that you used to have but you don't have cancer no more. Just take a moment to close your eyes and look back in your own mind. And you will see how good God has been to you. Are you willing? Standing on your feet, we out of here. Are you willing?